How do we address or embrace the place in which God has called us into the kingdom? Unfortunately, the passage that we're going to read today has been used to support slavery, when actually it ought to be used against slavery. Let's talk about that today. Good morning and welcome back to Today in the Word. I'm glad that you're following along with us. I'm Glenn Schaefer. If you have now subscribed, thank you. If you haven't, take a moment and do so. If you're following on our podcast or YouTube, whichever, be sure and help us get the word out as we go forward. Today we're dealing with another difficult passage. We're going to be in verse 17 through 24. Dealing with the state in which you come to Christ. Now remember, the gospel is going forth into the Corinthians just as it does in the nations of the world today. What happens when we are in a particular place that's been distributed to us and we come to the gospel and we see that there's some things that have to be changed in our condition? What are we to do? Well, let's start reading verse 17. But as God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let them walk. And so I ordain in all the churches. Now, what is he saying? He's saying when the gospel comes into a culture and into an area, that person, whether they be circumcised or uncircumcised, whether they be male or female, or whether they be a slave or not slave, then how are you to walk this out? So as he walks through it, he's saying, let the Lord, who's called each one, let him live out this life. It's called the walk. He says, but God has distributed each one as the Lord has called each one, so let him live or let him walk out his life. And he says, I ordain this in all the churches. Now let's look at verse 18. Was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he's called. Now here's addressing Jews and Gentiles. He's basically saying, don't try to change the fact that you may have come in as a Gentile. Don't try to be Jewish. Or if you're Jewish, don't try to be Gentile. Now, obviously, in Paul's life, being Jewish, he understood that the laws had no bondage upon him because Christ had fulfilled the law. However, when he was going to minister among the Jews, he had one of his proteges circumcised in order that they might be embraced. So Timothy was actually circumcised. Now the reason that he would have had Timothy circumcised was so that Timothy could have an entrance among the Jews and he himself could. That's not because he thought it had any spirituality to it at all. That's what he's addressing. There's no advantage of circumcision or non-circumcision. So don't try to change that position, but rather keep the commandments, he says, but keeping the commandments of God, that's what matters. So I think that's interesting. I don't want to get off on that subject, but were those who are in the body of Christ today to say that Christians have no commandments because of grace is a whole nother teaching. But Paul is saying the grace of God has been given to us to be able to keep the commandments. We're not talking about ceremonial law, but the moral law and the very commandments of God. He said, that's what matters. Let each one remain in the same calling in which he's called. Don't try to alter or get out of that situation. Now let's look at verse 21 through 24. This is a difficult passage because this passage has been used in American history to support American slavery. Actually, it ought to be used the opposite. Now, as bad as Roman slavery was, and there is no slavery that's okay because for one man to own another, American slavery was even worse because it involved kidnapping and stealing and man-stealing. That was a capital crime. And I believe the judgment that's been in our nation through the Civil War, and might even be dealing with the consequences today as the judgment of God upon this nation, because God deals with nations during this present time, not just at the end of history. And in this situation of American slavery was an atrocity. And Paul's addressing a slavery during the Roman times, which was not the American slavery, but was bad enough. And yet he comes here with the gospel and he says, were you called while a slave? Meaning, this is going to take the transformation of the gospel. If you're given an opportunity to be free, he said, use it. Now, I see this in the story of Philemon, the book of Philemon, where Onesimus was a runaway slave, owned by a Christian by the name of Philemon, ended up in prison with Paul as a cellmate. Paul shares the gospel and disciples him, and Onesimus, the slave, becomes a spiritual son to Paul. Now, I'm sure Paul had many spiritual sons, or had a number, but he only identifies three: Timothy, Titus, and Onesimus, the slave. But to Paul, he wasn't a slave. And yet he sends him back with the letter of Philemon to Philemon and says to Philemon, he left you, he was not worth anything to you, but now he's come back to you, not as a slave, but as my own son. In other words, he can't be a slave anymore. He's got to sit at your table as family. The gospel freed Onesimus because Philemon, as a believer, was the owner, and Onesimus was a slave, and Christ made them one and freed him. And Paul says, I'm going to come to you, and if he owes you anything, put it on my tab, because he's not to be held as a slave anymore. That's really what Paul was saying. That is how the gospel is supposed to break the powers of stronghold in nations and woodwork anywhere it goes. And that's what Paul would be aware of here, that that slave would see that God had called them into that and would give them a chance to be free. The reason I know that this could be used against slavery, because look at verse 22. For he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. The heart of that person would be free, because any of us who are in Christ are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And so we are slaves unto Christ. And yet he says, do not become slaves of men. So Paul would not be supporting slavery at all. You can become slaves of men in many other ways, but no one is to be a slave of another man. No one is to be another man's slave. And that's what Paul says. Brethren, let each one remain with God in the state in which he is called. As you remain in that, I believe the gospel transforms and changes that and brings it about. But God always deals with the heart. He always deals with that. And I believe even in our present circumstance, you can apply that to yourself. When you've come to Christ, where are you? And what's Christ doing in you? For you to embrace that and let the gospel transform your environment and our culture, and let it come from the inside out. So Paul is saying, let the heart of the believer be seen in every place, in every circumstance, in every state, as we walk out the word today in the world.